Celebrating 30 years on Utah's airwaves, Western Life Radio thanks you for joining us around the campfire and for your ongoing support to Utah's longest-running home, garden, travel, and outdoor adventure program. You can always join us on our online campsite at westernliferadio.com.
When carrying a firearm, always treat it as if it were loaded. Always keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you're ready to fire. Never let your muzzle point at anything you're not willing to destroy. And always be sure of your target, its environment, and any other safety hazards. This announcement's been brought to you by TaylorGunsmithing.com.
Explore the universe from one of Utah's dark sky parks. With more than 14 state park destinations to choose from, your family can gaze at the Milky Way, watch the moonrise, or make a wish during a meteor shower. With the right telescope, you can find nearby planets, tour distant galaxies, or capture the heavens with your own deep space photography. Your adventure begins with a camping reservation and a clear view to the darkened skies. Launch your epic nighttime adventure at stateparks.utah.gov.
Utah State Parks has a series of 17 snowmobiling complex maps available. These maps have a description of the trail, difficulty rating, mileage, and GPS coordinates. Download them from www.snowut.com. This message is brought to you by Utah State Parks OHV Education.
Discover the magic within Utah State Parks with an annual State Parks Pass. From boating and fishing to hiking, camping, and off-highway vehicle adventures, Utah State Parks offers a wide variety of activities in the great outdoors. An annual State Park Pass opens the gate to year-round adventures at an amazing price. The annual State Park Pass provides day-use access for you and your family. In addition, Utah State Parks opens the gate to cultural and historical parks where you can learn more about Utah's rich heritage. And don't forget to reserve your favorite campsites year-round with options in teepees, yurts, and hammocks in addition to the standard tent and RV options. Visit the trailhead for more information at stateparks.utah.gov.
I'm Governor Spencer Cox. We live in an incredible state, and this time of year, my family and I, we love to ride. Unfortunately, we've had too many fatalities this year, and while safety equipment is critical, it's not enough. Remember to always be aware of your surroundings and never ride beyond your capabilities. We want to make sure that you make it home safe. And never forget, nobody is invincible.
Connect with the world through Rise Broadband and stay in touch with all things important to you and your family. Known as the number one fixed wireless internet provider in the United States, Rise Broadband will keep you connected with work, school, shopping, and entertainment. Whether you live in a suburban or rural area, Rise helps keep you and your family connected with the people and things that you value most. Rise Broadband offers flexible packages designed to meet your budget so you can enjoy all your favorite music and movies with fast, reliable, in-home Wi-Fi. Stream your favorite shows, play the hottest games without buffering, and stay in touch with family and friends on Skype. Get more for less with Rise Broadband. To check availability in your area, visit risebroadband.com or call 844-411-RISE.
Faster Utah is proactive about school safety. For more information, fasterutah.org.
Thank you.
This year, give the gift of fun. Come to Sportsman's Warehouse to check off your Christmas shopping list. At Sportsman's Warehouse, you'll find the gifts that keep on giving. Products your family and friends can use throughout the year in all their outdoor pursuits. Whether their passion is hunting, fishing, camping, hiking, or anything in between, Sportsman's Warehouse has the perfect gift. Still can't decide? A gift card is always a favorite if it's from Sportsman's Warehouse. Sportsman's Warehouse, take it outside.
Kindness. It's a single smile, a thoughtful word, a small, unexpected gesture. Whatever the act may be, it's something we call kindness. Yet sometimes in such a chaotic world, people forget the power that kindness holds. Kindness can brighten a moment, lift someone's spirits, turn a bad day into a good story. Kindness can make someone's week, or month, or year. Kindness can restore faith in humanity, and some say it can even make us healthier. All with a simple, small, perhaps unseen or anonymous act. So, think about this. What would happen if a small act of kindness sparked another small act of kindness, and then another, and another, and another? What if kindness became contagious? And all the small gestures done by many would make an impact felt around the nation, around the world. Imagine that power. And all it takes is one kind act a day.
Joins us once again at the trailhead with Utah's OHV and snowmobile program. Thank you so much for taking a few minutes with us.
Thanks for having me. It's always fun to talk about the change of season and what we have coming next. So, yeah, I'm really excited.
I'm so excited about the season. For folks who've never been snowmobiling before, how many complexes do we have and where can people find maps of the opportunities throughout the state?
Yeah, so we have 13 grooming complexes for the state of Utah, and they're with various partners. So not only do we provide grooming, but we partner with some local counties. We have some Forest Service partners, and one of our biggest partners would be our state parks partners that provide a lot of the personnel time to some of these grooming complexes. So you can find maps for these areas at ohv.utah.gov for the respective grooming complexes. We have a interactive map. It's not an offline use map like you would see on Gaia or Onyx or Forest Ride Command, but those apps also have a lot of the same information. It might be tweaked a little bit, but they have a lot of the same information like our map online on ohv.utah.gov. And so you can get information there, as well as the grooming reports from snowut.com to make sure you're being able to know when the snowcat's been out, where it's been grooming, where it's about to groom. And that would be all the information you would need to make sure you had before you went up and rode in our trail system. So really a huge array of riding opportunities from as north as Bear Lake up Logan Canyon, as far south as Cedar Mountain down by Cedar City. So lots of riding areas, and those are just our grooming complexes. The state of Utah's unique where you can ride in a lot of our Forest Service areas. Always check with your local districts to make sure that you can ride in those areas that you want to ride in, and they'll be able to help you out with those partners as well.
It's incredible how many miles we have and so many trails, so many different opportunities. I mean, you can literally go every weekend and explore something entirely new, entirely different over the course of that winter season.
Oh, yeah, I was definitely lucky. I was able to do some of what you said this last winter. I really want to make sure that I'm given the best information from my point of view. So I spent some time last winter to make sure that I could visit some of our grooming complexes to make sure that they had what they needed. And so I went clear down south to Beaver Mountain down in Beaver County, State Route 153, and saw some really similar areas like I would in northern Utah, but also an area that is unique because of its geographic location. And so I was lucky to visit these areas, and so hopefully that can come across to some of our other users and take a day or a weekend to visit some other areas to see if you like those and also see something new. Now, when you go to these areas, and something that I experienced is because I didn't know the terrain as much as I do either in Wasatch County or Sampee County, I needed to make sure that I had someone that did know so I didn't catch myself in a bad situation where I might need to call search and rescue. So as you visit these new areas, do your research. Maybe have a local riding partner to make sure that they're taking you in areas that you can ride safely. And so just an additional piece of information to make sure you're safe out there.
Excellent advice. I'm glad you brought that up. That actually brings up a couple other subtopics here. For folks who've never ridden before, who don't have a sled yet, there's great rental opportunities. And in addition, if you do have your sled and everything ready, get involved with some of these clubs in those different areas. They oftentimes will have rides in these different areas. You can explore with them in a safe environment, discover all the neat things, learn some history that you might not otherwise know. And it's fun. Share some cocoa with each other out on the trail, get to know these people, and discover what makes that trail special to them.
Yeah, if you're just getting into the sport, which I was at the dealership and there was a few new people and they're asking a lot of questions of the dealership up at Weller Recreation, and they have some great information to provide new users. And there's also rental companies if you're just kind of on the edge of actually purchasing some of these things. So our rental companies, which we have a ton of rental companies that provide great experiences, and I've been able to talk with some of our rental partners and form some really great friendships with them, and they provide such a great service. And they usually have a guide service where they can take you out and make sure that you're safe. It's a professional service with a lot of these, and they provide great experiences for our users. And then, lastly, probably the best opportunities to get to know your areas and also get to know your community is through these clubs and organizations. Our partners with the Utah Snowmobile Association have some great opportunities to get you out to some social events. They have a kids' day in Camas at the Red Barn in the morning where there's another opportunity to see what the Snowmobile Association is about, get your family involved, and really get to know some fun riding areas in Utah. And that's where you see a lot of lifelong friendships with some of these clubs. As I talk with them, it's a sense of community, just like you would be in a neighborhood, is how I compare it to a riding club, is you have a common interest and you can ride these areas with these passionate people and riders, improve your skill set, as well as get to know some other people.
It surprised me. I've attended some in the past, the snowmobile show in late October, and you can get some good deals and meet the different clubs, become member of the clubs, and it's just really cool to learn what excites them about their area. And everybody has their own magic, what makes their little area the best. And it's hard not to become members of multiple clubs for that reason. And then you take the time to play with them a little bit on their trail system with them and sometimes do some service projects with them And there's some really good people. And you don't need to be a member of that area to be a member of the club.
Yeah, exactly. All they really ask for is your time, at the very least. You know, there's some club memberships and dues that may come associated with it. But for the most part, they're always welcoming of new faces. They love their volunteer projects. And we love being with them on their volunteer projects and making sure that we can help them from our off-highway vehicle program to make sure that they're successful. And so really, it's just a great sense of well-being to be there with them because they have the same passion. And, you know, their intentions is to improve the opportunities of snowmobile use in Utah. So such a great environment to be around. If you haven't tried it, even just talk with a few members. They have some contact information on their association website. And I've been able to make some great friendships with our snowmobile association that if I need help coming from my point of view or coming from me, they're always willing to help me provide some opportunities for snowmobile users. So just can't say enough great things about our snowmobile clubs in Utah.
Exactly right. And that leads a little bit into the progress of what we've seen over the years. There's been new projects over the years, oftentimes spearheaded by these clubs. They work with partnering with the counties or the travel councils or something. And they see something, since they're on the trail every time, say, man, it would really help if we had a trailhead facility here or a restroom here or whatever. Or maybe this section here could be done differently and make things a lot easier for everybody. It's amazing over the years how many improvement projects have happened through these communities and also through your program. I mean, there's a grant program that has really done some significant improvements over the years, and it's amazing every year the success stories, the changes that have happened to make things more accessible, more enjoyable, and bigger and better.
A lot of our projects that do happen on the field or in these areas, just like you said, they come from the users, and we hold that very valuable as we develop some of these recreational facilities that our stakeholders, our club members, our riders, our snowmobile users are included on some of these big decisions. And we really gain a better product or a better overall program when we have some inclusiveness of these clubs and these riders to make sure that we're building it for them, because in the end, they're providing a snowmobile registration and they should have some voice to make sure that we are hitting the right mark from our end.
I think that's in part why we're seeing the growth again in the snowmobile world. They're seeing things that excite them in addition to the good snow we're seeing, but it's heading the right direction. I think it's only going to continue to get better and better in years to come.
Oh, yeah, we're definitely always looking at what's the next thing. Some of our next big projects that I'm comfortable saying is we're looking at a new snowcat shed up at Mirror Lake. That's been a project in the works for years, and now's the time to finally make that happen. Every year we're looking at how to improve our snowcat program, and as we look at purchasing new snowcats, we're making sure it is for the snowmobile users and facilities and additional positions. Our trail crew foreman positions that we just added this year will help our winter recreation program as well as our summer. And so we're always looking to improve from the last year and build a program that'll be relevant for 10, 20 years. We really want to test the age of time to make sure that we're having all these things set in place to provide for years to come.
Reminder for folks out there, when you get out there to play, take good care of the trails. And if it's muddy, try to avoid riding on trails that have minimal snow. That way it doesn't cause damage to the trails. It saves us money down the road so that the money can be put to improvements rather than repairs.
Oh, yeah, we definitely want to use our tread lightly principles and making sure there is enough snow. You know, when our tracks go down to the grounds, that's when we provide some damage to these areas of resource. So making sure as you ride in these areas, right now we're right on the cusp of having enough snow. And so even now we probably want to wait another storm system to make sure that we can ride in all the areas that we want to ride. And not only for that, it's for your safety, for the safety of your machine. I've already seen some broken A-arms and some damaged tunnels due to some of these rocks hitting them. And so right now may be a little too early, but we are nearly there. We just need one or two more storm systems before you can head out.
Cross my fingers, it'll come sooner than later. Let's take a quick break. Be back in a few minutes. When we return, we'll continue our discussion with Chase Peely with Utah's OHV program. And when we return, we'll be talking about ice safety and snowmobiles. Stick around. More fun is on the way here on Western Life Radio. Explore the universe from one of Utah's dark sky parks. With more than 14 state park destinations to choose from, your family can gaze at the Milky Way, watch the moonrise, or make a wish during a meteor shower. With the right telescope, you can find nearby planets, tour distant galaxies, or capture the heavens with your own deep space photography. Your adventure begins with a camping reservation and a clear view to the darkened skies. Launch your epic nighttime adventure at stateparks.utah.gov.
Put on your helmet, let's go.
But Mom, when will I be old enough so I don't have to wear my helmet? When will I become invincible just like you?
Sweetie, I'm not invincible. I need my helmet too. Anyone can get hurt, no matter how old they are.
Be responsible and set an example when you ride. Accidents do happen. Please remember, nobody is invincible.
Play safe on the water. In Utah, youth 12 to 17 must pass an approved safety class prior to operating personal watercraft on Utah waters. Classes are offered statewide. Register now or get more information by calling 801-538-BOAT. Visit stateparks.utah.gov. This message brought to you by the Utah State Parks Boating Program.
Cold frames can really make a difference in extending your shoulder season harvests. We're framing up some cold weather options next on Western Life Radio.
When carrying a firearm, always treat it as if it were loaded. Always keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you're ready to fire. Never let your muzzle point at anything you're not willing to destroy. And always be sure of your target, its environment, and any other safety hazards. This announcement's been brought to you by TaylorGunsmithing.com.
I'm Governor Spencer Cox. We live in an incredible state, and this time of year, my family and I, we love to ride. Unfortunately, we've had too many fatalities this year. And while safety equipment is critical, it's not enough. Remember to always be aware of your surroundings and never ride beyond your capabilities. We want to make sure that you make it home safe. And never forget, nobody is invincible.
Beat the cold this winter with a simple cold frame. Alex Grover with Utah Gardeners discusses how easy it can be.
You know, it's funny you talk about people not thinking about it now. It was a Saturday before Thanksgiving. I put my first cold frame out for the season. I finally got around to making one. And I planted seeds. You know, right now, I haven't got any of my seeds actually going yet, but you can really do a lot depending on the season. Now, since we're getting into the shorter months, a lot of seeds are going to respond to that shorter day length and just ignore trying to sprout if they're planted any later than right now. But just around the corner in mid-January, it'll be time you can start planting in a cold frame again. So never get complacent that, oh, it's the winter, I can't grow anything, I can't plant it, I can't do this. You can do a lot of stuff. And I'll be out there munching on some radishes or maybe some early lettuce greens. And it doesn't cost a lot. Now, for my cold frame, I spent $10 for wood on it. And I could have done it with scrap wood, but I wanted this one to be a little bit nicer. And the plastic, you know, I'm not sure what that cost because honestly, I got it as part of payment on a project. Me videoing the cold frame construction is what it came down to. And so I don't know what that costs, but it's not excessive to buy some good, cheap plastic. You want something that's got a little bit of sun resistance. But other than that, you can go with a pretty cheap plastic. So easy, easy. I put a flush with the wood. I went a little bit more expensive on my wood. I got 2x6s.
Thanks for joining us. May all your days be filled with new adventures. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff.
As inviting as the mountains are for snowmobiling, they are not to be taken lightly. Avalanches are a very real danger and must be respected. Before venturing into the mountains, always check with authorities for snow conditions and danger areas. Always ride with others and ensure each person in your group is equipped with a rescue beacon, a shovel, and a probe. The mountains offer a great riding experience, but avalanches can pose a real threat, so always be prepared. Safe Riders, you make snowmobiling safe.
Now back to Western Life Radio with your host, Brian Brinkerhoff.
Welcome back to Western Life Radio. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff, host of this program. We have Mr. Chase Peely with Utah's OHV program. And also, for folks out there, I know when we first got our snow machine, our first sled, we planned to use it a lot for ice fishing on Strawberry to get us to places that we wouldn't have to hoof out to. What are some ice safety tips for snow machines?
Yeah, so when traveling on ice, it is significantly different than traveling on a snowpack trail versus the powder. These machines tend to heat up a little quicker on our ice, especially on our reservoirs. And also, the most important part is thickness of the ice. We always consider ice is never truly safe. Just like the snow conditions, ice conditions change every day with the weather. Whether the sun's hitting it, whether wind's pushing ice around. And so as you travel on the ice, know that you are traveling in the area where it constantly changes. Now, there are some areas in Utah that may be a little bit more stable, but always expect that the conditions are going to change. And even though there's ice level thickness of 8 to 12 inches, it still may not be considered safe. And make sure you're aware of that before you head out on the ice to enjoy another awesome recreational opportunity, ice fishing.
Watch those conditions very carefully. You can sometimes see almost a wake on the ice sometimes when you're driving out there. And if you go too fast, you might find yourself getting into a pressure ridge or something. And I know that over the years, there's been more than a few sleds fall in the drink at Strawberry. And I'd hate to be one of those guys that have mine fall under the ice, fish it out in the spring.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of these machines are somewhere around the 2,000 to 3,000, 4,000, but a lot of new machines are around $15,000, maybe $20,000. So that's a lot of money. And more importantly, your life sometimes gets at stake with falling into a reservoir that's significantly colder than it was during the summer. So definitely something to watch out for. It can be a dangerous activity. But as long as you're going through your checklist, just like you would anything else, you can make even some of these perilous activities fun.
That's a one way to put it.
Yeah.
I like your style. It's a fun season. It's amazing. Anything else we should be talking about as far as snowmobile safety looking into the upcoming season?
With snowmobile use, a lot of times we talk about the equipment and how to use that equipment, but some other safety considerations is even when you're traveling to the trailhead systems, a lot of times our snowmobile users are traveling maybe just right after a storm or possibly even during a storm. So making sure you're safe while you travel these trail systems. Also, a lot of our trailhead parking lots may need some time to get plowed with some of our partners in some of these other areas. We have a lot of land managing agencies that provide some plowing services. We also provide some plowing services in some areas of the state. And if you go right after a storm, a lot of times these trailheads aren't going to be plowed. And really, we're considering the highways are always going to be first. And then once the highways and state roads are cleared, then we're going to hit our trailhead system. So asking for a little patience before you head out. And then when you get to a busy trailhead, making sure you're courteous to others is when you're unloading and loading, you're unloading in safe areas and free of a big crowd by your snowmobile. And then also moving on to when you're on the trail systems, as you pass others, be courteous of other trail users. There may be some other non-motorized trail users. Your machine may be a little bit more scarier, at least perception-wise, than what you may think it is to another user. So being mindful of those, signaling to other snowmobile users how many is in your group. So if you have three in your group and you're passing someone and you need to signal how many is coming behind you, which is a signal of two because you're the first one. And then as you're the last one, bringing up the rear of that group, having a full fifth signal so that they know that that's at least the last one in your group. So some little safety tips there to help you have a safe day on the trail.
Excellent reminders. It's those other trail users. We need to always remember to be courteous with them. Otherwise, we may lose opportunities in the future as far as trail access.
Yeah, exactly. We want to be a great neighbor, a great partner, and we're all there for a lot of the same reasons. As recreation develops in Utah, a lot of us use it for therapeutic reasons because it is recreational in nature. And so as you pass people on the trail, making sure that you're mindful of what sound you produce, your snowmobile is a little bit louder. So as I pass someone snowshoeing or cross-country skiing, I'll slow way down to make sure that they don't feel threatened from my machine. They don't truly know what direction I'm going to take. I know what direction I'm going to take, but I'm going to keep my distance and go slow. And then after I get enough space between me and them where I may see it reasonable, then I'll speed up to speeds of what I need it to be on the trail.
Excellent advice, especially if they have dogs with them. I mean, a cross-country skier or a snowshoer might have a pet with them on the trail. Might get them real excited having a noisy machine come by them. And again, courtesy goes a long way. Being friendly with your neighbors, your other trail lovers out there, making sure everybody is enjoying that experience makes all the difference in the world.
Oh, yeah, nothing's greater to see all the communities getting along on the trail. A busy Saturday right after a storm system, everyone's excited to get on the trail, and nothing's greater to see than everyone getting along, saying hi, everyone's having fun. And then when we have the opposite side of some altercations and some, at least to the level of people arguing, that almost ruins everyone's day on the trail. And sometimes it's out of your control. Sometimes you do run into some of those situations where you can't totally avoid it. But if we're going above and beyond on our efforts to make sure that they feel welcome on the trail systems, I'd say that would go a long ways for all our communities.
I like it how your predecessor always would say that as snowmobilers, we as OHV riders, we are ambassadors for the sport. And we encourage everyone to be the best ambassador you can be.
Exactly, and the perception of community is through their interactions with our communities. So if they have better experiences with our community members, then really their perceptions are formed off of their experiences. And that goes a long way if we can provide great experiences to some of our other community members. And me as a motorized user myself, I make sure that I go above and beyond to make sure other uses feel welcome in these areas of recreation. You know, I love having conversations and seeing their perspective and reaching out to see how we can better our community on some of the practices that they've seen.
And something else you said a minute ago also caught my ear. As we're traveling to and from locations, as far as preparedness, double check our trailers. Make sure those lights are working. Make sure the tires are inflated properly. Make sure they're in good condition. And the brakes. Make sure everything is secured properly. And make sure you have the proper gear, the ramps or whatever it takes to get on and off safely and not get yourself or someone else hurt.
Yeah, with our trailers, that's another addition to our vehicles. So sometimes I see some neglect on trailers, and definitely that's an easy thing to do when you're not using it all the time. So just like you would your snowmobile, you're doing a pre-trip checklist. Just like you said, making sure all your equipment works the way it should and that you have everything that you need to get up there and back safely with your trailers, because it's almost like checking for another vehicle. It just doesn't have a motor on that. And the snow and the roadways, they provide a harsh condition for a lot of these trailers. So double-checking all those integral functional parts of the trailer is super valuable when you're wanting a safe trip on your snowmobile adventure.
Excellent. Any other safety tips or reminders we should be sharing with folks out there?
Biggest thing is knowing before you're heading out, make sure you have all your stuff, you have all the knowledge that you need. And as I talk to people on the trails, is I always tell them to have fun, but more importantly, have a safe, fun trip. And so I'm always telling people to be safe on the trails. It doesn't matter who you are, but have fun and be safe.
I like what you said, be knowledgeable. Speaking of which, there is an education program that's been in the works almost a year now, and it's been quite a successful deal too, as far as a big success story for this year.
We did not realize how many people would know about this and how much of an impact it did for the state of Utah and its visitors. We are sitting at around 240,000 course completions, and the immediate impact, although it's anecdotal, is that we are seeing some better practices on our summer trail systems. Now, we know this isn't for snowmobile uses, but it is a good sign that we are seeing some improved behavior and also creating some unique dialogue among our trail users because of this course. You know, this is just a huge surprise. We did work very hard on this course, and we weren't sure how well it would have been accepted and how many course completion and the compliance rate. But this course, we couldn't have asked for a better response and result of what we did. We're anticipating maybe 60,000 course completions, and we're sitting at, like I said before, 240,000. Such a great thing to see, and really thankful to our users and our OHV riders that they promoted this more than we ever could have promoted this. They really took it as a community front of making sure everyone knew about this course. Whether you agree with it or not, and some of our users didn't, and that's okay, but they still made it apparent to other users that, yeah, this course is here, it's legally required, and here's some of the things that are being taught within the course. So, such a great thing to be a part of and being able to implement with our team at the Division of Outdoor Recreation.
Congratulations. And I think part of its success is the fact that it was at no cost. There's no excuse on that front to not take the course. In addition, it makes us all better ambassadors. It makes us more aware of what the rules are, courtesy factors. It's an important tool for all of us to be better ambassadors and better representatives of the sport.
Exactly. We've been able to see some behaviors and also, like you said, some ambassadorship that we haven't seen before. And I wouldn't say it's just due to solely about this course. It was from the users themselves being able to take this and run with it and put it as part of their daily riding experiences. We just didn't expect how much impact we would have had with this course.
I think it's incredible. I think it is so cool to have this big of a success story, this big of a groundswell. And for folks who aren't familiar with the program, if they haven't taken the course yet, maybe they're not everyday riders, what is the requirement and how do they take advantage of this course?
This course is available at ohv.utah.gov, and it is on our education page there. And it'll take roughly 15 to 30 minutes. It is our over 18 years of age that you are required to take this course. If you're under 18 years of age, our youth course, which is available in the same location, it's just a little bit more extensive, and that's required for our youth riders for the state of Utah. And this would be any non-resident coming in, and as well as our in-state and snowmobiles are exempt from this. We just had such a huge success in making sure everyone's been able to take the course. But all of our details are on ohv.utah.gov, whether you are required to or not. If you aren't required to, you can still take the course because it is free. It doesn't cost anything. If you plan to ride at OHV later on in your life, it's a once-in-a-lifetime course. So it not only teaches you good behaviors to do on a motorized trail system, but all of that information transfer across to all of our trail use. So if you're an outdoor recreator, all of these practices and this educational material can go along with that type of use as well.
Exactly. It is an excellent program. You can do it anywhere, anytime. You can do it at middle of the night if you can't get to sleep. It's free. It's everybody's price point. There's not a lot of excuses not to take the course, and it applies to everybody. Even though it's not required for snowmobile side, it's helpful for snowmobile side. There's nothing that will hurt you by taking that course.
Yeah, and like you said, it's 15 to 20 minutes of your time, and the headache about taking the course is the time itself, which we've already explained that the time frame of taking the course, it goes a long way in the end of just providing some extra practices of ethical use. And even if you've learned one or two things, you know, that's all we really ask is that you learn something. And if you already knew these things, then great. You're already a great recreational user in the first place. So it just kind of affirms what you already know.
Exactly. That's what it's all about. It's just a useful tool to have in your toolbox. Again, where's that website for more information?
So for information on the OHV education course for state of Utah is at ohv.utah.gov.
And that's actually one of your first babies that you put online yourself as you came into this position.
Yes, it was my first project / assignment. I got into this position right after the legislative session that happens in February, and the director of outdoor recreation said, okay, this is what you need to focus on, and such a great opportunity to be a part of. Now, I will say it was stressful at times, implementing such a huge project for potentially 500,000 OHV users of potential test takers or course takers. And so definitely a integral part or a huge part of my career moving forward was this project. So definitely one of my babies, but I will say that it was way more successful because of the team I had being able to implement it. These projects are never by yourself, and so I will say that I had many people to make sure it's successful. I was just there to make sure it went forward.
And it wouldn't have happened without those other partners out there. I mean, they actually supported the program. They talked about the program. They actually encouraged folks in their groups, their clubs, their organizations. It's a groundswell from the users themselves. They saw a need, and that's part of the reason why it exists.
Yeah, so many partners that made this successful, from the users to land managers to county partners to our partners that tread lightly. And so many voices can be seen through this course. This definitely wasn't just one mind bringing it forward. It was many minds working together, putting the most important information to them to make sure that we were hitting the right mark.
Again, congratulations. I have a lot of respect for you to make this happen, as well as working with all the other partners to make that happen together. And again, I think that's the biggest success. It just indicates again that groups can work together to accomplish bigger things.
Yeah, so much involvement with this, and we hope just to grow from this. Definitely, this was a huge project, but we're looking for the future of what OHV uses in Utah, so we're not stopping there. We're going to keep moving, and we're going to keep bringing some awesome stuff going forward for our division.
I like it. And I guess one other thing I want to mention or bring up is wildlife. During the wintertime, we love to see wildlife out there. It's always a temptation to get close to them, but we certainly don't want to stress those critters out there. Deer and other critters out there have limited supplies of fat content on their bodies, and they rely on that to survive. And if they get stressed, if they feel like they're being chased around, even if they're not being chased around, just as you get close, if they're getting uncomfortable trying to get away from you, that will deplete a lot of their storage fat. They may not make it through the winter if it happens too often.
Yeah, we are riding in the areas that they are commonly in, and so making sure that we're mindful and keeping our distance, like you stated. And if that just takes a little bit of extra time, then just be patient. As we get closer to some of our wildlife in Utah, we definitely don't want to be a problem, and taking your time on keeping your distance. If you feel like you're getting a little bit too close, then back away and keep your distance and let them comfortably pass as you need. Or if you need to take a different route with snowmobile use, there's a lot of routes that you can take that don't necessarily need to be right next to wildlife. And so being mindful of that, just like you would another user on the trail, right? That their perception of you might be a little bit scarier than what you think it is. So if you think that you have a safe distance from the animal, then increase it or double it just to make sure that you're not adding to the problem.
Anything else you want to wrap up with, Chase?
No, I think that's good. I think we need to wrap up by telling everyone to get on the trails as soon as it's safe and getting all your snowmobile gear ready. And that's really all I want people to do is go out, have fun, and more importantly, be safe.
Mr. Chase Peely joining us once again with Utah's OHV program. Encourage everyone out there to have a fun and safe holiday season, and wish the same to you and your family, Chase.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Be prepared at home this winter season. Keep an emergency supply kit easily available that includes a battery-powered radio with extra batteries, canned food, and a manual can opener. Keep readily available some flashlights and battery-powered lamps, fuel for generators, and extra wood for the fireplace. These winter safety tips are brought to you by FEMA, the Region 8 Youth Preparedness Council, this station, and Western Life Radio.
With snowmobile season here, it's time for all youth to get their snowmobile education certificate. Education certificates are required by law for all youth who operate snowmobiles on public land. The class is a great resource, even for adults, that will provide information about operating machines safely, avalanche danger, safety equipment, and laws and rules. It's a great way to learn about safety and reduce your chance of an accident. Classes are now online at www.stateparks.utah.gov. Utah State Parks looks forward to seeing you on the web, then on the trails.
Explore the universe from one of Utah's dark sky parks. With more than 14 state park destinations to choose from, your family can gaze at the Milky Way, watch the moonrise, or make a wish during a meteor shower. With the right telescope, you can find nearby planets, tour distant galaxies, or capture the heavens with your own deep space photography. Your adventure begins with a camping reservation and a clear view to the darkened skies. Launch your epic nighttime adventure at stateparks.utah.gov. This year, give the gift of fun. Come to Sportsman's Warehouse to check off your Christmas shopping list. At Sportsman's Warehouse, you'll find the gifts that keep on giving. Products your family and friends can use throughout the year in all their outdoor pursuits. Whether their passion is hunting, fishing, camping, hiking, or anything in between, Sportsman's Warehouse has the perfect gift. Still can't decide? A gift card is always a favorite if it's from Sportsman's Warehouse. Sportsman's Warehouse, take it outside. Don't spend your hard-earned money on a telescope that won't work. We're looking at nighttime optics next on Western Life Radio.
Become a certified good guy or gal. Get your concealed firearms permit. TaylorGunsmithing.com.
Invest in quality nighttime optics that will last a lifetime. Seth Jarvis with the Clark Planetarium shares some recommendations.
We are the largest retailer of telescopes and binoculars in the region. So if you're thinking about maybe getting a family telescope, please come down and talk to us, because a telescope is the sort of thing that is going to last a family for a long, long time. And so if you make a mistake and buy a low quality telescope, and it pains me how many of them there are out on the market these days, I refer to them as department store telescopes. And so not all telescopes sold at department stores are junk, but a lot of them are. But anyway, we can help you decide on what fits your budget, what your goals are with the telescope. You've got to take into consideration not only price, but also the age of the people who will be using the telescope, what their level of interest in astronomy is, whether or not transportation is going to be an issue, whether or not you think the person is going to try and perform astrophotography with it. So there's lots of dimensions to explore. You don't just simply buy a telescope because it fits your price range. It would be like deciding that the only thing you care about to buy a car is how much it costs, and not caring about the fact that some cars are station wagons and some cars are four-wheel drives and some cars are race cars, and forget about all those things. Well, we pay attention to those details. And one of the things that the staff here just loves doing is helping people make up their minds about, first of all, do they really want to buy a telescope? Sometimes all they really need is a good pair of binoculars and a book and a chart on how to use them. But if there is a real keen interest in the family and you want to cultivate that curiosity in a child and let that kid explore the universe with their own telescope, we can get you set up for some pretty inexpensive, pretty bulletproof telescopes that will last literally a lifetime, because telescopes generally don't break.
Thanks for joining us. May all your days be filled with new adventures. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff.
Hi, I'm Phil Douglas from the Utah Division of Wildlife Resources. Each winter, the DWR conducts sleigh rides to see Rocky Mountain elk at the Hardware Wildlife Management Area, located 17 miles east of Hiram, Utah, in the beautiful Blacksmith Fork Canyon. Friendly drivers, powerful draft horses, comfortable sleighs, and up-close experience with the elk make this one of Utah's great wildlife traditions. Visit our website. Oh, what fun it is to ride.
He's leading the way along the back roads less traveled, exploring the woodlands, the red rocks and streams. He's sharing his campfire from season to season, new places and people with stories and dreams. Through cadence of nature, the wilderness beckons. A song of the mountains rings out through the trees. The voice of the backcountry echoes forever. It carries the message, live wild and free. Wild and free. The song of the mountains is calling to me. Wild and free. In the great western wildlands, discover the backcountry dream.
Folks, you've been listening to Western Life Radio, a 30-year outdoor and Western lifestyle tradition. Thanks for joining us. May all your days be filled with new adventures. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff.